Our next presenter is Rachel Wilford with the North Carolina Center for Public Health Preparedness, and she is presenting the paper with Jennifer Horney and Ed Baker.
Yep, and I could just ditto echo the remarks of the previous speaker. Dr. Horney really is the principal investigator on this research project, so I will do my best here, and if we get down into detailed questions, I'll refer you back to her. So this is a research project that was carried out earlier this fall. Dr. Horney and myself are affiliated with the Center for Public Health Preparedness at UNC, but we also have one of the PERC research centers, and this particular project was carried out with the North Carolina PBRN. So it was a community-based survey. This will follow nicely on the previous presentation. We were looking at community knowledge and attitudes towards seasonal and H1N1 influenza vaccination. And just to give you a little bit of background, which you're all probably very familiar with, back in April of this year, Health and Human Services declared a public health emergency for 2009 novel influenza A, H1N1. We got our first confirmed case in North Carolina about a week later, and today we have widespread influenza activity. There's no longer active testing except of hospitalized patients, so there's not even an accurate count any longer. If you're interested in the question of vaccination for novel influenza, the best proxy you can look at is seasonal influenza vaccination. So in a typical year, 83% of the U.S. population is in a priority group for seasonal influenza vaccination. In recent years, last year, less than 40% actually received the vaccine. And uptake is typically highest among elderly persons, age 65 and older. It's lower among high-risk younger adults and kids under 2. And this is important when you look at the question of H1N1, because the priority groups for immunization overlap some with seasonal influenza, but there's a little bit of difference. There is a target for children and healthy young adults. In terms of specific studies that have looked at the question of vaccination for H1N1, back in May of 2009, RAND added a flu module to an ongoing internet panel. An N of 2000, and 49% of the adults they surveyed said that they intended to receive novel vaccine. This intention was strongly associated with intent to receive seasonal vaccine. A telephone survey conducted in the summer by Harvard said that 45% of adults were absolutely certain that they would receive novel vaccine, and 51% were absolutely certain that they would vaccinate their children. Just as a comment, because this was carried out via landlines, it may have missed an important population in terms of young folks who primarily use cell phones. Lots of newspaper polls were conducted. This one from the San Francisco Chronicle was pretty typical. It said that 72% were likely to receive novel vaccine if it was recommended by their MD, and women and Latinos expressed higher levels of concern. So in North Carolina, we had a strong interest in finding out what community awareness and attitudes were towards both seasonal and novel influenza this year. The North Carolina Division of Public Health was strongly interested in this question in order to inform their vaccination plans and education campaigns for the flu season, and they asked us to collaborate with them, and we received one of the Robert Wood Johnson Quick Strike grants, which was a $25,000 award, and you had a 3-month window to carry out research and complete it. So this survey was carried out in mid-September of this year, and we collected data on knowledge and intention to receive vaccine, both for individuals and for their children, if they had children, where they were receiving their information from, and their ability to comply with isolation and social distancing measures. It was a population-based rapid needs assessment carried out in 2 of the central counties in North Carolina, Orange and Alamance County, 2-stage cluster sample. 30 census blocks were chosen, and then within those census blocks, there were 7 random samples. This shows you the survey locations. For those of you unfamiliar with North Carolina geography, that is Alamance County on your left and Orange County on your right. The outlined sections in different colors show the census tracts. The ones in black were the ones sampled, and then the red dots show you the sites chosen within those. The sampling was done probably, and I'm going to say this wrong, I'm not an epidemiologist, but essentially the blocks that were more populated were more likely to be chosen in the sample. So the data was collected on handheld computers. This just shows you how data is entered into these. It's using an ArcGIS data collection tool. Let me tell you a little bit about what we found. So 258 households were visited over the course of 2 days. It was a Friday and a Saturday. We had a response rate of 80%, 207 interviews completed, and demographics were pretty broad. It was a pretty representative sample. Median age 49, just over half female. And knowledge of pandemic H1N1 vaccine was pretty high. 80% were aware that the vaccine was in production. People received their information from a variety of sources, but it was interesting to note that newspapers were actually the highest information source. And when you look at how a lot of the information about H1N1 is disseminated, i.e. over the internet, that may not be reaching this particular population as well. So there was a lot of awareness of H1N1 vaccine, pretty consistent with previous studies. So high knowledge of the vaccine availability. Those persons who either received seasonal influenza vaccine the previous year or intended to receive it for the upcoming flu season were much higher, much more likely to say that they were going to receive the novel vaccine. And also those persons who were very concerned about H1N1 were more likely to intend to get the vaccine. So people who did not intend to receive vaccine were given a list of possible responses that they could then say yes, no to as to the reasons for why they would not. So these were some of the responses. So people felt that they were unlikely to be infected, had concern about possible side effects, or perceived that the illness would be mild, or felt they weren't part of a priority group. And at that time, the assumption was that two doses would be needed. So they were asked about that, and they were concerned about the inconvenience of a two-dose vaccine. Questions were also asked about social distancing measures and intent to vaccinate children. And of those households with children who had kids under 18 living at home, just about half said that they intended to vaccinate their children with both the seasonal vaccine and H1N1 vaccine. It's interesting to note that intention was much higher among children, families that had younger children, 6 months to 4 years of age, and was lower among households with older children. And this gets to a question of how do you increase awareness or intent among that group? That's might be a problem group. Households with children were also asked about their ability to keep their kids at home for 7 to 10 days without undue stress, and almost half, 45%, said that they would be able to do that. About half of the households reported having someone in the house who carried out full or part-time work. Just under 60% of these folks said they intended to receive novel vaccine. 41% said they did not have any paid sick leave, and about 65% said that they would be able to stay home from work 7 to 10 days. Anecdotally, we found that a lot of the people surveyed were self-employed, and so that factor may have played into some of these responses. So, in conclusion, the survey overall was pretty consistent with the previous surveys in that intent to receive novel influenza vaccine or seasonal vaccine was highly associated with previous experience receiving seasonal vaccine or intent to receive seasonal vaccine. We did find that knowledge of an intention to receive novel vaccine was higher than in other studies, and this could have been a factor of when we carried it out. This was done in September as opposed to May or June, and overall information levels were, I think, higher at that point. We did find that there was low uptake in low intended uptake in one of the target groups, which was young adults. And it points out the discrepancy that we've trained elderly folks really well, that they need to get seasonal vaccine, and young adults aren't really used to it. So if you're talking about vaccinating a group that isn't quite as used to getting seasonal vaccine, you might have to work at it. One of our questions was whether our study had a social desirability bias in that this was in the media constantly. And so if you're asking people questions about whether they intend to do something, they may be more likely to say, you know, yes, I do intend to do that. We also were asking sort of theoretical questions about intent to vaccine. We weren't saying, do you intend to go down to your car drugstore next Tuesday to the vaccine clinic to get vaccinated? It was just theoretical in general at some point in the future. And so it may be easier to respond yes to something that's abstract and in the future as opposed to a concrete. This study was just carried out at a single point in time as a cross-sectional study, and we can't confirm people's intention. So no way of knowing whether these folks actually did get vaccinated or still intend to. We also could have had a response bias. So those persons who are more distrustful of government agencies may have been less likely to participate in our survey in the first place. As I said earlier, this was a collaborative project, and I just want to acknowledge the other people involved at the North Carolina Division of Public Health, Aaron Fleischhauer, who is a career epidemiology field officer, Janine Daly, who's an EIS officer, and Zach Moore. And we collaborated closely with the local health departments in Alamance and Orange County. And North Carolina has public health regional surveillance teams, and the one for this region in the central part of the state assisted. And then finally, there would have been no way to do this without the efforts of our student surge capacity volunteer team, who were the ones who hit the pavement and went out with the handhold computers over the course of a couple of days. And assisted with the data collection. Thanks very much. I'd be happy to take questions.
We have time for two or three questions. In the back.
Yeah.
Looking at that slide you had with the reasons for not, I don't know if you can go back to the presentation.
Yes, you can. On the keyboard.
The reasons for not, the reasons, you know.
Yeah. That one?
Are these consistent with, is there baseline data to see what, I mean, I know it's just vaccine for the seasonal one, but is this different or, do you know, offhand? Are these the same reasons people use the seasonal vaccine?
Yeah. So the question is whether the reasons cited for people to not receive novel vaccine are consistent with other studies that have asked questions about seasonal influenza vaccine. And I don't know the answer to that question. Sorry. And I think.
Dr. Mays first, and then the woman in the back.
Just a quick question. I know the local health departments around the country are now in the midst of their mass vaccination activities. Do you have a sense of how Alamance and Orange might be using this information as to target customize their vaccination strategies?
You know, I do not. I actually had a chance, the North Carolina PBRN had a meeting last week, so I actually had a chance to share some of the information with them, and those two health directors were there, and they did not say how they were using it, but the health director for Alamance in particular said that he really wished that we would come out and do it again in the spring and then collect information about what actually happened after it was all over and how people ended up getting their information. So, something to think about.
One more question in the back.
Do you have any idea
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I can get you Dr. Horney's contact information about whether it was specified, whether they listed out, you know, are you in any of the following priority groups? I'm not certain.
Okay.